Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for this hour of Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you all so much for tuning in this hour, Tuesday, 10 a.m., June 9th. And before we get started with this episode of Speak Up, I just want to acknowledge that this program, as well as all of our programs here at CJSF, are broadcasted on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hulkamilam and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here on these lands since time immemorial. Now, before we get on with the episode, we got a lot of cool pieces to play for all of you today. But I don't want to reveal too much. Let's start off the hour with a little bit of music. This is from local jazz musician James Danderfer. It's titled Tumbletown. Hope you enjoy and make sure you stay tuned for Speak Up. Thank you. Once again, that was Tumbletown by James Dandifer. You're listening to Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM with your host, Danny Nesvedarani. And the first piece we have for today's episode of Speak Up is about an exhibition all the way on Main Island. Main Island is one of the southern Gulf Islands here in BC, and I was fortunate enough to be invited to the opening reception for a art exhibition at the Main Island Community Library. This was an exhibition that featured the works of Chris Paul, who is a Coast Salish Wasanich artist. And the name of the exhibition was Rebuilding Our Connections, Walking in Our Ancestors' Footsteps. When he was speaking about the exhibition beforehand, Paul spoke about how colonialism has disrupted the Wasanich people's connections to Skatak or Main Island through residential schools, language loss, disease, and a lack of representation. So the goal of this exhibition is to sort of help highlight and rebuild those connections with the island for the residents to know about. It was a really, really amazing time. I had never been to Main Island. It's actually very easy to get to. It's just a single ferry from Tawasin. So if you're interested in checking it out and checking this exhibition, you absolutely should. My full recommendation. But one thing I was really struck by when I first got onto the island is just how community oriented everyone felt so immediately. You know, like it was very clear that I was not from the island, but it was never something that felt like off or weird in any sort of way. And I just had a really, really lovely time communing with all these people and speaking with all these people, and also speaking with Chris Paul. He was there for the reception where he gave a Q&A session, but I was also able to interview him beforehand and speak to him a bit about what this exhibition meant to him and hopefully what it can mean for all of you. So without further ado, here is my interview with Chris Paul on the side of a noisy parking lot.
Okay. For me, it's like a huge reconnection with the island is the reason why I took a show on. And Main Island, or Skatak, as they call it, is just an extraordinary place where my people used to meet. And it just the breadth of my art career, which each of the pieces go back to what's called the Sandwich series. And so, kind of retrospective since day one, almost, it feels like, you know.
And I noticed a running theme of your artwork and this exhibition relates to just the relationship between community and people with the natural world, with cycles, specifically, like, say, the life cycle of salmon in particular. Why is that important for you to depict?
I'm not depicting anything. It's actually, all of the art I do tends to be live art, like it's living. Like, I don't see something as not living, and even the art itself and wherever it goes seems to always take on a life of its own. And even the fact that I'm here today, I feel more like I'm being called by my own art to come back and just take part in the actual, like, it's like the action of giving or doing the art is now calling its energy back again to an art show I'd never ever thought I would do or plan to do. And it's kind of like how I've always kind of approached it already. And it's like anything else. You start something somewhere, and you never know where it's going to end up. I feel very fortunate to be back here again.
You alluded to, like this exhibition being reconnecting to that part of your heritage, of your family. Could you explain that a bit more, like your specific connection to Main Island?
Well, I think, like, you know, there's darker parts, like, in terms of this, what Main Island is, and or Skatak, and also how we connect back in a way that's, you know, there's as far as I understood, there was mass graves on the islands that, and a lot to do with smallpox. And I think, you know, there was many times where it was just like a very beautiful place for people to come and live and be and just participate, you know, be a part of something. Like, you know, the whole idea of how First Nations people look at things, right? Like, it's, I think that's a real struggle now, like, say, with money and stuff. Like, there's really, you know, the real value is actually in the land and in the seasons and how we relate to it and how we become a part of it in terms of generations and how we look at that. And a lot of it has to do with either seasons or generations. And the less dark part about it is I'm back here and my people are back here and they're participating here in the language. You can hear it here now again. And I think it's one step, many steps ahead of us, but at the same time it makes it exciting. Like, you know, myself, about to have my first grandchild and excited to have more. And I think that's seeing the next generation, and you find yourself in a place, yeah, just taking that part in your community. Like, you know, when I was first coming here, I was just a little kid, and now I'm here being almost a grandfather.
Does it sort of feel like a full circle moment for you then?
Not so much a circle, but this is what, how do I put this? It's a continuation in, quite honestly, an endless sort of thing. And I feel very fortunate to be a part of it in the way I am.
The next question I wanted to ask was, I noticed that some of the art also includes your family as well and your children. Mm-hmm. Why is that something that is important for you to be a part of the art?
Well, like, you know, like, I think all of us try and create meaning in our life. And, you know, one of the most incredible things you can do is have children, you know, and you realize you take your place in the world in a way that you're responsible for those people and those children or your family. And that I think the more you take that job seriously, the more you enjoy your life so much more, and you, it really creates purpose. And I've seen lots of people without children and, you know, trying to find a place, you know. And I think it's really simple. We're built a certain way, and when we have children, it really makes the priorities, and it just makes it really clear what to do with life. And you stop. There's so many times we think of in life, we think of me, and the minute you think of me or that's any of that sort of stuff, but, I see people getting lost. Like, you know, you get stuck in your head about, I don't know, maybe things that happened to you or something. And I know my family and myself, you know, we've been through a lot. You know, I went to day school and that sort of thing, and it wasn't as hard as residential school, but it was still really hard. And many other things happened, but, you know, I find that these, once you have purpose, a lot of that stuff just falls away. And so, and you can enjoy your life a lot more.
Is there, when you're creating, are your kids a part of the process? Like, do they ever give you feedback or suggestions or anything like that?
My kids are pretty big critics, and so, but at the same time, they're incredible artists, and I think a good critic also elevates you as much as it elevates them. And if they're doing art as well, they have to put themselves in the same position, some place in their, I don't know, ego or something like that. I think it's more the stages. Like, you know, my kids were just little, and my partner and partners actually in different between different children were they wanted to homeschool them and wanted to, like, I've had nothing but home births and that sort of thing, and I don't know anything different. And I think that's an extraordinary way each experience becomes your experience. You vicariously live those experiences through them as they grow, and, you know, anywhere from their first step to saying mom or dad or whatever, and, you know, then being like myself, I'll be a grandpa soon. Mm-hmm. I think that's extraordinary, and again, it comes right back to purpose in life. You know, we could chase so many more things or create so much more wealth, or I think we miss the point, and that's when we feel empty, you know?
Did you say part of your purpose is reclaiming or reintroducing that connection to Maine?
I think Maine Island is always been a part of me, and really it's just getting to know myself in that way, and feeling there's a quietness, more of a quietness here, and there's a reason why people come here, and you know, in some ways I think it would all go on fine without us, but it's pretty special what happens when we're all here and, you know, eating food together. I didn't know you until a minute ago, and now I just feel like community creates something, really, really creates something. And you need enough difference in community and in families to create some change. But at the same time, there's something really incredible when people come together and sing together or talk the language or even fight. And, well, it's not too bad a fight, you know?
Yeah.
I think you need all those pieces to create good humans.
Once again, that was our interview with Chris Paul on a exhibition that he is currently doing at the community library on Maine Island titled Rebuilding Our Connections, Walking in Our Ancestors' Footsteps. I had a really great time speaking with Paul, spending time with him. Just a very kind person and very family oriented, and I really appreciated that aspect of his work as well. After we spoke, there was a reception and a Q&A, and I thought I would play some clips from that. So without further ado, here was the introduction to the reception.
Awesome. Thank you. Kawas jilicha, etla tia tongo khat, the eight met tongo khat, spat. Eches, da. The nanu eosantana shkwe la kuna tia enok at a sletishin, yna etla y kuning it. At nashecha. Swatalisia than a sne, ch etla sin a tia tongo at kusetnich, yetla at spat. Eosin kuna stilak da stila matia enok. Cut the sauce, each get the chakat, put that thing it. So, good day, everybody. I'm just so happy to be here. You know, to be able to celebrate this beautiful day, the beautiful work from Chris here. And he was just admiring the drum, and I said, Pinekwong made me this drum, his first drum in his class. Mm-hmm. Back, geez,
many years,
10 plus yeah. years ago now.
Yeah.
And, as many of you know, I go by Swatalisia, and there's a hummingbird on here. And hopefully, I was just mentioning it, put my bag outside in it, and it got, as you know, it got slop, what we call, got all cold, as this is from Smaya. But before we begin, I just wanted to offer, you know, some good medicine today, some good aishkwelequin, as we said, some good feelings for this beautiful work here. That's what this exhibit is called, and it's talking about walking in our ancestors' footsteps, but also talking about that reconnection, rebuilding that connection. So I just wanted to say what that means for this beautiful exhibit here today. But today, on my heart, I just want to bring forward, You know, one of our Shtena Chustiwius, one of our salmon prayer songs, it comes from Sitch Kusinia, from Chris's auntie, from our auntie. And I'll do the best I can. As some of you know, I've been struggling with asthma this this year.
So, that was the introduction for the
Mark
reception. But then afterwards, there was a Q&A section with the curators for the exhibition, as well as Chris Paul. Here's something that one of the curators for the exhibition, Mark, had to say about Chris Paul's work and the way it exists, I guess, within the BC art ecosystem.
So let's remark, what is special about Chris's work within the Salish art world?
Oh, wow. Well, I think Chris, I've been told by many artists that each generation innovates with Indigenous art, and I think Chris is at the forefront of innovation with mediums. I think because of his background with carpentry and mechanics, and I think he was building his own systems to create art. And I don't, you know, a lot of the Coast Salish artists use producers. If they're working in glass or metal or wood, but Chris developed systems where he was doing that himself, so he could fine tune what he was doing. His designs are incredible. As we know, there's only four, Chris can talk about this, but there's four design elements in Coast Salish art. It's very simplified, but when you look at Chris's art, he's using negative space with the elements in a way that creates depth and movement. He learned that from people ahead of him, probably his Uncle Charles and Simon Charlie and Susan Point. So, but Chris's art sits in by itself because of the way he uses mediums and the way he, like if you look at this, and Chris was pointing this out earlier, but the way the salmon eyes in the middle, you can see the little kind of crescent shapes with the eyes in the middle, but those are also the heads of people in a circle. Mm-hmm. So he's combining, if you look at this, it's just abstract forms, but if you start reading it and looking at it closer, this is his vision and Coast Salish vision. Well, that's what I would say. Yeah. And Chris is, I would say, after those groups, the Coast Salish art was a lost art form until the late 70s, early 80s. If you think about the Coast Salish territories of Seattle, Vancouver, Victoria, they were densely populated, colonized areas. They couldn't hold secret potlatch bands like the central and northern coast could, like the Kwakwaka'wakw could, the Haida could. So they had to revive a lost art form in a way. And it's, you may think this about Coast Salish art, it's very modern because it came out of the spindle world, which the early artists in the late 70s or early 80s were studying in museums. That's all they could use to study.
Right.
I don't want to speak for you. But this is a bit of the history. So, you know, after that group, you know, Chris is at the forefront of that next generation.
After the reception and Q&A section of this exhibition, we were able to speak with one of the curators that was a part of putting together this exhibition here on Main Island, Riley Tai. So she was able to provide some perspective and some cool facts about the process of putting together this exhibition with Chris Paul.
Yeah, my name's Riley Tai, and I'm one of the co-curators for the annual Salish exhibition on Main Island. This is my second year participating, and yeah.
Nice. How did you first get involved becoming a co-curator on Main Island of all places?
I had worked with someone called Rose Bahan. She worked at Emily Carr through the Aboriginal Gathering Place and had reached out to me to tell me about this. She had worked in previous years, but has been taking some time to focus on her own artwork. And so she invited me on, and I was just an assistant to the last exhibition. And yes, it started through that connection at the AGP through Emily Carr when I was a student there. And they invited me again this year, which was really nice.
When did you first find out about Chris Paul's work? Was it through this exhibition?
Yeah, it was through this exhibition. Jennifer Iredale, one of my co-curators and someone who's been running this annual Salish exhibition,